You are listening to a live broadcast from the Queen Street Fair in Ottawa in celebration of World Radio Day. This event is brought to you by the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Farm Radio International, and CKCU-FM.
I'd like to get started by talking about the fact that you've built a professional career around translating and storytelling. Can you tell us about how that passion was sparked?
Yeah, well, happy World Radio Day.
Happy World Radio Day.
To everybody and to all of our friends at CKCU. And thank you very much for inviting me to share my passion for radio. Actually, I originally wanted to be in broadcasting, but my parents just said no. They said no. They were like, no, you're not doing that. In Africa, female journalists, that doesn't work too well. You're good at languages, you're going to be a translator. And I just said, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. So that's how I became a translator. It's not that it was a particular passion of mine. But while I was doing my master's over in France, we had a project where we had to produce radio segments that would be used as teaching tools for our students studying French. So in doing that work as part of my master's program over in Besançon, in eastern France, that's where really the radio bug bit me. And I realized that, well, A, I have a voice for it, and I'm good at putting together stories that are compelling enough for people to stay tuned for at least 5 minutes. So, yeah, I never look back.
And you mentioned your parents didn't approve of your love for media. Did that ever change when they sort of saw your passion, how you were sort of devoted to it?
No. No. Like typical African parents, they're like, nah, you're a lawyer, a doctor. My dad was a diplomat, so a UN interpreter was what they had in mind, ultimately. No, whenever I tell them about, oh, look, I got a Lifetime Achievement Award for, you know, the volunteer work that I do with the radio station and TV station, and my mom's like, oh, that's great, dear. You know, like, not that impressed. But you know what? It doesn't matter.
Well, and we're impressed. And we
because
see
I
value.
See the impact
for sure
that my work and the work of my teammates on Black on Black has on our community. So that's all I care about.
I want to talk about, it's Black History Month. And I know you're a champion of Black History Month. And you do a lot of work sort of educating people. You work with Black History Ottawa, and I know that was created out of the lack of representation across the board. Mm-hmm. I want to know how that's changed since the organization launched, and what else needs to be done to further that mission.
Yeah, and it's interesting you should mention Black History Ottawa, because the creator of the show that I co-host and co-produce, Black on Black, Jackie Stewart, I need to shout out Jackie Stewart, she was with Black History Ottawa, and that show is kind of an offshoot of her involvement, because it was a way to showcase what was going on during Black History Month in the community. Well, Black History Month has been celebrated nationally since 1996. Okay. So that's quite a while. And since then, the government of Canada has invested in awareness campaigns that have enabled different organizations to get the resources to do more impactful programming in terms of producing online resources, physical resources, posters and stuff. And the fact that media as well has jumped on board to help spread the awareness has helped popularize and quote-unquote normalize Black History Month on this side of the border. So I'm very happy to see that, you know, it's gained popularity, visibility. It also helps that we have more Black media personalities who have been, you know, out there spreading the word about Black History Month, Black excellence, Black contributions to Canada. There's still a lot to be done. It's only recently, I think it was last week, in Ontario, they said that Black history will be mandatory as part of the curriculum. Wow. That was last week.
Wow.
Canada is how old? Canada is almost 200 years old. And it's last week that they decided that Black contributions that date all the way back, I don't know, 400 years ago, are worthy of being represented in our history books at in schools. It's very important to make sure that all the different communities, not just the Black community, the Indigenous communities, the Asian communities, are included in telling the story of Canada. You cannot tell the story of Canada and decide that one particular group should dominate the narrative and that other communities, when they show up in the narrative, are marginal, and it's usually negative. It's never in a contributory way. It's never about how they helped, develop physically or economically or socially the country. So this work is important, and it needs to continue.
Agreed, agreed. And continue beyond February.
Well, Black History Ottawa is 365, it's all year throughout. And it's not just about history. It's about youth contributions right now. It's about technology. It's about entrepreneurship. It's about community building, and that's 365.
Agreed. I just want to acknowledge that you were presented with a Lifetime Achievement Award by Volunteer Ottawa for volunteering and being an iconic community leader. To me, this is an example of Black excellence, but could you maybe share with me what Black excellence means to you and some examples?
That's hilarious when people say I'm iconic. I don't think I'm iconic. I'm just regular. I just get up and do what I do.
You're humble.
No, it's, and when you feel like you have a mission in this life and you've decided to use your access, your gifts, your voice, your abilities to uplift and, highlight other people who otherwise wouldn't be highlighted and uplifted, then, you're not going to think about yourself that way. Black excellence, oh my gosh, Black excellence is all around us. We shouldn't just be looking for it in February, right? Black excellence, actually, the Black presence at all is Black excellence. Mm. Anywhere. Because you know about all of the challenges and the trials and tribulations that we face just to even survive. So you get past surviving, and then you go somewhere, and then you excel. You put in place new processes, you advance human rights. A lot of the social justice movements here in Canada, you're going to find some Black people that have been driving that out of necessity, usually. They don't get the spotlight that they should, but usually, yes. Women's rights movement here in in Canada, Rosemary Brown is not the only Black feminist who helped advance women's rights here. Black excellence is everywhere. It's just people need to look at the achievement, look beyond the skin color, and appreciate the contribution and really educate themselves. But hey, if it's a Black person who did it and you can't look past the color and you marvel, great. As long as you appreciate the contribution, right?
Speaking of contributions, you're one of the hosts of Black on Black, which can be heard on CHUO FM in Ottawa. Can you speak about the radio program for those who may not be familiar with it? And also congrats on almost over 30 years of having the show.
Yeah, because Black on Black has been in existence since the very early 90s, right? Black on Black is a public affairs arts program that focuses on Black diaspora communities. We focus as locally as possible. However, we often have African Americans who call in to do segments on, you know, particular issues. When we had the Black Lives Matter movement come across the border, we had Americans, you know, who were calling in to comment. We've had Black people from the UK call in and tell us about their realities. The idea of Black on Black really is to create the safe space for Black voices and Black experiences to be highlighted and celebrated, and for the people who usually are the subject of the story to tell their story. Families of murder victims. Remember when we had all the shootings? There was a parent who contacted us who wanted to speak to the community on our show. Wow. Because that is where he felt the safest, you know? We've had the police on. We also try to educate our Black community about what's available to them through the city, through the government, different programs that can help them, their kids, our youth. Increasingly, we're providing a space for our Black youth to express themselves, not just their creativity, but also, you know, their concerns, their hopes, their fears. And just to let the community know what our young people are doing, because there is a perception that they're up to no good, what are they doing anyway, they're hanging out in the mall, et cetera, et cetera. If you tune into Black on Black on a Saturday and Adrienne Caudette is hosting the show, she has some young people on there, you will marvel at just the many, many, many positive things that they are doing, not just in the school community, but in the wider community.
Thank you for that, yes. I just want to touch on the fact that your career in community radio, it spans nearly 28 years. Why is community radio important to you, and what keeps you driven after nearly three decades?
Oh, my. Oh, community radio is my love. Oh, my goodness. To me, it's the closest you're going to get to the community. It really, really, really is. And since you don't have the commercial imperatives and, you know, you can sort of create your own niche on community radio in a way you can't do it on mainstream or commercial radio, right? I love the grassroots feel of it. And community radio usually is an extension of community work, community development work. All of the hosts on Black are involved in the community, all of us. And you can hear it when we're on the air. Yeah. Community radio is the best. And I'm not just saying that because you're CKCU.
Well, with that being said, I just want to wish you a happy World Radio Day.
Yay,
we're going to get to some music by Bia Ferreira. And thank you again so much for your contributions.
Thank you. Can we get a picture?
Good morning and welcome to Queen Street Fair. Here we're having a live broadcast of World Radio Day. We're glad that you could join us. I see coffee and snacks back there. I'm very pleased to introduce our next guest here, Ariel Troster. She was elected in 2022 as councillor for Somerset Ward. And prior to running for office, she worked with communities across Canada at the Federation of Canadian Municipalities. As a volunteer, Ariel has helped sponsor and support refugees and asylum seekers with Rainbow Haven. And she's been involved with the Two-Spirit LGBTQIA plus activism for more than 20 years. So we're happy to have you here, Ariel.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
All right. Great. So I am intrigued at, well, first of all, are we in Somerset Ward here?
We are.
We are.
Okay.
Which makes sense why you would want to come here this morning and participate in this World Radio Day. What does radio mean to you, Ariel?
Well, I can't think of a time where I didn't have the radio playing. I was a kid who grew up on CBC radio and on community radio.
Great.
It's the first thing I do when I get home is flip on the radio to hear what's going on. And, you know, recently, it's very interesting. This wasn't a radio thing, but I was thinking about that wonderful intergenerational Tracy Chapman performance at the Grammys and how, similar to that performance, radio really brings people together. It's a collective experience. And we're living now in a time where media is highly individualized, where algorithms are trying to put you into, you know, a specific black hole feedback loop where you're only listening to the same thing and we're all like individual nodes. And community radio is so great because we get to collectively understand what's going around us. We get to collectively discover new music, and it's one of the first places where new bands get a chance to be played and people get a chance to hear them. So it's amazing because it's a decidedly low-tech technology, but I think it's one that will always...
Clearly a supporter of local artists, musicians, and all that, and you seem to understand the socioeconomic value of making sure that there is music in a city like Ottawa.
Yeah, I mean, all of the great cities around the world are music cities. I can't imagine a city without music. And you think of all the wonderful places to visit, like New Orleans, like New York City. You think of the music scene. You think of the jazz clubs. You think of the up-and-coming artists. You think of the buskers on the streets. So I've really seen, during a really tough time in Centertown, how music has helped revitalize downtown. Mike, as you mentioned, has had a wonderful program that's put musicians in non-traditional spaces, like outside the Staples on Bank Street, on Spark Street. Having music everywhere all the time and art everywhere all the time builds a great city that people want to live in, work in, and visit. So, and music and the music that community radio promotes is a huge economic driver for the city. You know, the arts aren't just a nice to have, they're a have to have for any important, exciting city. So,
and it helps define our culture as well. I mean, that's such an important part of our culture, you know, the music. It's interesting you talk about, you know, the value of campus community radio, because it's that independent media channel that it seems to be eroding around the world, right? And with less and less mainstream media. So I think that the independent channels play a big role in, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I went to journalism school 25 years ago. I didn't end up choosing to pursue journalism as a career because even then we were seeing the erosion of local media. And, you know, I remember the alternative paper weeklies, like in Montreal, it was, oh my goodness, I can't even remember. There were so many, you know, Now Magazine in Toronto, Express, all of those publications were super important because you'd open them up, you'd see what bands were playing, it helped connect you. And in Ottawa, we're seeing an increasingly shrinking media landscape. Just in the last few months, we've lost City News Radio, and there were massive cuts at CTV just last week. So local news is important, and also local news holds politicians like me accountable. We wouldn't know about challenges with the LRT without journalism. We wouldn't know about what was in a lot of our city contracts. We wouldn't know about you know, the sexual harassment scandal that happened with a previous council without journalism and without independent journalism. And without journalists having the freedom to pursue something that they think is really important and that they should, a lead that they should really follow. And we're losing that. So independent radio becomes all the more important. And I'll tell you, it's, you know, independent university radio or CBC are the two things that I flip on because I know I'm not being marketed something. I know that the person who is producing those shows genuinely likes what they're playing and wants to share it. And it's had a huge impact on my life and on my community.
Well, I love it. I do find that community radio is we feel that we give a voice to the underrepresented communities. And I think that's a really important part of what we do. And I think that aligns well with your values, Ariel, because I know that you are also very much wanting to help the underrepresented communities in the city. And so I wonder if you can talk a little bit about some of your work you know, your work with the Two-Spirit LGBTQIA+ is really important to us. And also your thoughts on how to work with unsheltered citizens in the city and your alternative crisis response pilot, I think, might be nice to mention. Actually.
Sure. Any space where underrepresented communities can express themselves, can talk about the challenges that they're dealing with in their own voices without having to censor themselves is really important. We just heard about the importance of community radio to the Black community. It's been incredibly important to the queer and trans community over the years. And it's a way of keeping our history alive, just like it's Black History Month right now. I think it's really important to say that our struggles are connected, they're intersectional, and sometimes things can be a little bit more complicated than you can express in a soundbite. So it is important to have that space. And here in Ottawa, from a policy perspective, we're working really hard to provide alternatives, specifically for underrepresented communities. We do have a new non-police crisis response pilot that'll be coming online in the next few months. Which will be a 24-hour-a-day service that folks
That's a great feat, and you were instrumental in bringing this on.
It was a massive community effort. I do have to thank the Guiding Council for Mental Health and Addictions, which is made up of representatives from all over the city that have been working on this for a number of years. But the fact that it is coming to Centertown, to me, is enormously important, because for folks who might be fearful of police, who might not feel represented by police, they need another place to call. And we need another place to call when we see a neighbor who's struggling, who's not doing anything criminal, who just maybe needs a sandwich or help with an addiction problem or a place to sleep. And, you know, walking into the building right now, there's a fellow asleep on a heating grate outside this building. And to me, that's a massive failure. It's unacceptable. So I know we're working really hard to end homelessness in this city, but in the interim, we also need to ensure that we have the supports and we have the emergency supports so that we're not making the problem worse when we call for help.
Right, which was key, yeah. Well, we're so glad that you could come this morning and that you felt inspired to share and celebrate World Radio Day with us today. Ariel Troster, thank you so much.
Thank you, and thank you, CKCU, for everything you do.
Whether we're broadcasting music, election coverage, special events, or news, local audiences are served well by media. Greetings from CFYT, based on the traditional territory of the Trondheim-Gwich'in and located in downtown Dawson City, Yukon Territory. Happy World Radio Day, and thanks to CKCU and NCRA for sponsoring the national broadcast. It's a very important time to recognize the value of community radio and double down on our commitment to keeping the airwaves open and accessible. Whether we're broadcasting music, election coverage, special events, or news, local audiences are served well by media based in the same community and a shared purpose of community engagement. For CFYT, our main sponsors are local agencies and NGOs that benefit from airtime. This includes the First Nation, which just received UNESCO World Heritage status, the municipal government, the Dawson City Music Festival, this year celebrating 46 years, and the Klondike Institute of Art and Culture, celebrating 25 years. The Robert Service School Grade 7 class will produce CFYT's World Radio Day show, targeting both the local audience and elementary students 200 kilometers away in Mayo, where CFYT is helping Carleton University students deliver podcast training.
You're listening to CFYT, the spirit of Dawson City.
One, two, three. Check, check.
Okay. Looks like that one works. All right, I will move.
Good morning, Ottawa. You're listening to CKCU 93.1 FM. I'm Yaldo Sarwar, and this is your 8 a.m. morning news update, coming to you live from the unceded territory of the Algonquin Anishinaabe Nation, now known as Ottawa. We begin with breaking news from Carleton University. Sarah Olfatori is the newly elected president of CUSA, Carleton University's Student Association, the governing body of nearly 30,000 graduate and undergraduate students. With a minor in business and psychology, Sarah is currently pursuing a neuroscience degree at Carleton University. And Sarah will be joining us here at the CKCU's downtown studio live in the next hour. Moving on from local to the national politics front of this nation, MP Garnett Guinness, who is also the Conservative Party's shadow minister. For international development, hosted a symposium on the occasion of International Development Week titled Afghanistan on the Hill. The event included Conservative MPs and senators, along with newly arrived Afghan Canadians. Center of attention, though, was keynote speaker Ali Maysam Nazari, head of foreign relations for the National Resistance Front of Afghanistan, also known as the NRF, a rare but prominent anti-Taliban movement currently active in Afghanistan that says it is opposing the Taliban's oppressive regime, including the current ongoing education ban on women and girls and numerous more atrocities that Afghans and Afghan women in particular continue to face post the country's fall in August of 2021. The event on the Hill was to gather support for a recent concurrence motion at the House of Commons, which denounces the terrorist Taliban group and rejects any form of recognition by the Canadian government towards it as the government of Afghanistan. The purpose of this event was to also highlight other human rights violations currently taking place in that country because of the extended Taliban rule. Canada has now welcomed more than 47,000 Afghan nationals, and they're all under all streams, though the question remains whether Canada's efforts thus far are satisfying to existing and recently arrived Afghan Canadians, most of whom now call Canada and Ottawa their new home. It's World Radio Day, Canada. We mean Turtle Island. Happy World Radio Day. Do you consume enough radio? What is your preferred media outlet? Is it TV, the internet, or some good old local radio? Well, if your answer was the latter, our team and I here at the CKCU, also joined by astounding guests and our local journalism partners in the Ottawa area, are joyous to present to you the current ongoing three-hour special live radio broadcast coming to you from the downtown core of Central Ottawa. That said, whatever your preferred method of media consumption may be these days, if you live in this country, you must be aware of the latest media catastrophe this nation continues to experience just days ago. Bell Media laid off 4,800 members of its employees nationwide. In the words of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, this was a garbage decision by Bell Media. He said this is the erosion, not just of journalism and of quality local journalism at a time where people need it more than ever, given misinformation and disinformation. It's also eroding our very democracy and our abilities to tell stories to each other. Bell's chief legal and regulatory officer, Robert Malcolmson, blamed the government for the cuts. He said Ottawa is taking too long to provide relief to media companies and that the current Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission, CRTC, has reacted too slowly to a crisis that is immediate. To that, Federal Heritage Minister Pascal Solange responded, accusing Bell of breaking long-held promises to deliver quality local news. The Prime Minister has also said that his government has provided Bell with $40 million to prevent such occurrences. But the Conservative Party speaks of a motion backed by the NDP and claims that their motion has produced $40 million in regulatory relief for Bell. And those were your breaking news stories this hour. It is 8:07 a.m. and you're listening to CKCU, a 48-year-old local station coming to you live from the nation's capital, with real people, real radio, as it and real radio as it continues to connect communities across this nation and the city. I'm Yelda Sarwar, thanks for listening, and a very happy World Radio Day, Canada.
Alberta region, Ontario, Canada, to the cities of Kitchener, Waterloo, and Cambridge, and the rural townships of Woolwich, Wellesley, Wilmot, and North Dumfries. One of the jewels on the CKMS-FM radio schedule is the Agriculture Show, hosted by Jeff Steger on Tuesdays from noon to 2 p.m. Jeff explains what the Agriculture Show is all about.
We're at the Agriculture Show. We hope to listen to people's stories about agriculture and have us tell us what they know about it. And our town listeners can see some common themes in there and stuff that they might not have known before and a new appreciation for what's going on out in the countryside. That's our lofty goals.
Jeff brings in guests from different sectors in agriculture to have them explain the business of farming to our urban listeners.
Let's say some random person walked in our doorway and said, hey, you three, what do you know about agriculture? Like, what would you tell them? What would be your agricultural story?
Invariably, Jeff answers one of the most basic questions about farming.
Have you ever had the chance to tell someone that brown cows don't give brown milk?
Sad, but true. This entertaining and educational information is brought to you through the miracle of radio and Jeff Steger. The Agriculture Show is sponsored by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture, representing farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Their goal is to promote the farm community in support of innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer and the policy needs of society. Radio has been around for over a century, and our community radio station has been broadcasting for over 45 years to bring information, entertainment, and education to Waterloo Region. And now, we return to the World Radio Day celebrations from our nation's capital, Ottawa, broadcasting from CKCU-FM at Carleton University.
Nothing seems to go my way. I'm getting tired of the same old same. My friends keep telling me that all things change and my image needs a brand new frame. I can lose a beard and get a haircut, but something tells me that's just not enough.
Put some effort in, don't be shy. You don't need a special reason why. Cause every girl's crazy about a sharp dressed guy.
In a scene in my new suit. I'm a new man with a new plan. Yeah, I'm rocking this new suit. Lord, I'm listening, shout, ain't no doubt I'm looking fine in my new suit. I'm a new man with a new plan. Good style is more than just a habit. A good suit is more than just the fabric. House through a subtle sheen. It's confidence that will cause a scene. Broad shoulders and a nice lapel. It feels so good when it fits so well. Something now. A little bit softer now. Bring it up, bring it up, bring it up now. Bring it up, bring it up, bring it up now. Living loud now. Hey! 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh! Welcome to World Radio Day. My name is Elijah Morey.
My name is Corey White Duck, a.k.a. Corey Chorus.
My name is Michael Buckshot, a.k.a. The Blues Man.
And we are from CKWE 103.9 FM in Kitigan-Zibi, Quebec.
Radio plays a vital part in informing, entertaining, and educating our communities.
To all those who played a part in radio then,
now,
and to the next century, may all your favorite bands stay together.
And now back to the World Radio Day celebrations.
Broadcasting live from unceded Algonquin territory
on Parliament Hill in Ottawa.
Pija shig non dak chiganeki jig mizawekamegong. Mariette Buckshot n'indigene kaz on de jekidigan zi bing Quebec n'idonjaba. Non dak chigan kichin endagwad kijab jitungi dinwewinan. Tamajamuwinan kikinamagiwinan ashijmujigindamuwinan on jekitanakiwinan. Midashko kem mizawe kame go non dak chigane ki ijek, mino wane go zawin, non dak chigay ang anishnabe king ega wikat ga migawane wang adawang parliament pikwadnang.
Hi everyone, it's Pascal Saint-Onge, Minister of Canadian Heritage. Today, we're celebrating World Radio Day. Not only is radio the oldest means of large-scale communication, it's also the most reliable. We see it, for example, when natural disasters strike, people turn to radio for real-time information. So it's really important that we keep radio alive and keep this medium strong. To all those that keep radio alive and vibrant, thank you for your work. And to listeners, thank you for tuning in. Happy World Radio Day!
Salut tout le monde! Ici Pascal Saint-Onge, ministre du Patrimoine canadien. Aujourd'hui, on célèbre la Journée mondiale de la radio. Non seulement la radio, c'est le plus vieux moyen de communication à grande échelle, mais c'est aussi le moyen le plus fiable. On le voit entre autres lorsqu'il y a des catastrophes naturelles, les gens se tournent vers la radio pour obtenir des informations en temps réel. C'est donc super important qu'on continue de faire vivre la radio et de faire évoluer ce médium-là. À toutes celles et ceux qui font vivre la radio, merci pour votre travail et aux auditeurs, merci d'être au rendez-vous. Bonne journée mondiale de la radio!
Good morning and welcome to World Radio Day. You are tuned in to CKCU FM 93.1 here in Ottawa. Perhaps you're tuned in online and this broadcast is being disseminated, I don't know, across the nation perhaps, I'm not sure. My name is Anne-Marie and I am the Interim Executive Director here at CKCU and I'm happy to be helping with hosting duties this morning. I have Barry Rook sitting with me here and Barry is the Executive Director of the National Capital Radio Association, is that right?
Campus and community
campus,
radio.
Yeah. I'm thinking it's national. It's not just the capital, right? So, Barry, you're the instigator of all this here today. You want to tell us a little more about World Radio Day?
Yeah, World Radio Day is obviously something that's been celebrated. This year is the 100th year anniversary of radio. The NCRA is lucky enough to have not one but two stations that are right around that 100 mark. So last year, Queen's University's radio station celebrated its 100 years, and little known where we're broadcasting live on delay in Dawson City, CFYT, wow. Got started tied around the gold rush as well. So those two are stations that are at the 100-year mark as we celebrate radio around the world.
That's incredible. CKCU will be 50 next year, so we're pretty proud of that milestone, that's for sure. So 100 years, I like this Dawson City and the whole gold rush thing. So what did they started radio to be able to communicate with the prospectors or something?
Yeah, it was a combination of information being shared and from abroad, because if you had made that travel all the way, you're seeking your fortunes, how do you know what's happening in the world? How do you know if it's safe to try to make an attempt on the pass? All of these other types of elements. So radio, like in many spaces around the world, brings people together by information. And it's not that dissimilar to what's happening when you're on a campus, and you're in a small, remote, rural community, if you're on an Indigenous reserve or with a band as well. So, and that's just in Canada. And, you know, our partners here from World from Farm Radio International know, and you'll hear more about it later on today, how impactful it is in Africa and Southeast Asia and other spots.
Yeah, that is, it's the beauty of radio. It's some people, particularly the younger generations, perhaps think radio is kind of an old media, you know, channel or whatever. And what's radio? We don't know anything about radio. We just listen to Spotify. But radio has that intrinsic value, especially in connecting communities.
It's free, for
yeah.
one.
Okay.
You don't need the internet for it, so there's the additional accessibility of it. It's available almost everywhere, especially a lifeline when you're talking about things like emergencies.
Yeah.
The fires in BC, the weather patterns and troubles we've been seeing on the Atlantic side of things, it's there as a lifeline, as well as information, as well as an opportunity to share your passions for music. So the radio itself is growing. Our sector is seeing growth. We've got a dozen stations that are trying to either get started or increase their broadcast range, which can't happen right now because the CRTC has put a hold on new licenses. We're growing. We're not okay. shrinking. We're not in a space where it's not commercially viable. It's the communities are asking for and wanting access to live local information.
That's really incredible. Do you want to tell us why CRTC is putting everything on hold, or is that a complicated story?
not too complicated. Bill C-11 was formerly Bill C-10, sort of the longest running bill to get up to speed in sort of Parliament, is addressing the Broadcasting Act, which hadn't been touched since the early 90s. There's a thing called the internet that has kind
right.
of taken into place this. So to modernize the Broadcasting Act, this has been ongoing for quite a few years now, and we're almost in the final stretch. So the bill was passed. It's now in the hands of the CRTC, the regulatory body, and their role is to enact what's happening in that bill.
Okay.
We've had a written stage. We've had presentations. So myself, along with four or five other community groups representing community radio, got to speak and present to the CRTC. And amazing work by the others. And
wow.
we walked out saying the language in the bill dramatically supports the work that we're doing, which is information sharing, opportunities for people who don't normally have those opportunities to be involved, and a real strengthening of the language. So now the CRTC is in the process of, well, what does that mean for the practicalities of how the structures work? And they put a hold on the licensing and adjustments, except for extenuating circumstances, because things happen,
right.
as we've seen, stations are being bought and sold and okay. closing and so on. But we have a dozen stations that are trying to get launched. Okay. So we'll find out quite shortly if those stations can apply and what the application process is. But we're really excited that we're seeing stations okay. and groups pop up. I get an email every 2 weeks from somebody saying, we want to start something. We need to start something because there's nothing here.
Right.
And our sector is growing.
That's really encouraging to hear. I'm really happy to hear that. And it's that independent news that is so important to communities as the mainstream media is just getting sort of disseminated or destroyed or whatever the word is. So I think that we play an even more important role
mm-hmm.
in broadcasting local news and keeping communities well connected. Why don't you tell me a little bit more about how you got started in radio?
Yeah, my origin story, I guess,
yeah.
right? Every superhero has an origin story. I was 15 years old.
Wow.
A friend of mine said, hey, why don't you come do a radio show with me? I'm in Toronto. At this point, I was living at home with my family in Guelph. So about an hour away or so. That show started, I believe it was midnight till 4 in the morning.
Oh, geez.
And my mother was not having that. Me traveling on my own to the big city to do a show with somebody I'd never met in person. You know, all these things that they say don't do. So the short answer was my friend said, well, you know, there are radio stations all around the country. There's got to be something in your area. I knocked on the door at CFRU at the University of Guelph radio station. 2 weeks later, I had a show.
Nice.
And that show continues on today. It's been syndicated on 30 stations across the country. Mm. I'm not hosting it anymore. I've handed that off. But it afforded me the opportunity to learn media, to learn radio, to, you know, develop what my skill set is, travel the world as a DJ and really explore. And now I'm here helping others to be able to do that. So it's a really neat sort of circle of how it all comes back together, that the groups that allowed me to get started are the same ones that now I get to help support, because there's just so many people that have started in our sector.
Mm-hmm. It's a real valued opportunity to be a volunteer in community radio, and it can lead to a beautiful career such as yourself and myself as well. I've been in community radio for about 20 years here in Ottawa. I had a program at CHUO, which is out of the University of Ottawa. We're lucky in the city to have two campus community radio stations, actually.
Three, if you add Algonquin,
CKDJ.
So, and if I was to ask the room here to put their hands up, how many people got started in radio somewhere along the lines? Right?
Yeah.
So there's at least 120% there in the room. I mean, we're biased here if this is a radio event, but as you walk in, and I talk with a lot of politicians and a lot of people who are working around that, and you know, one third, one quarter of those have some sort of story going back to, I cut my teeth here or there,
right.
And have come through community or campus media at some form, and have always had positive experiences. And you know, if you're inspired by this, it doesn't mean you walk in and you have to host a radio show.
No.
There's so many other things that you can do.
Lots of work to be done. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I agree. And for example, on today's program, because we are broadcasting until 10 a.m., we will be speaking with Adrian Harewood, who got his start at CHUO and CKCU and ended up managing a station in Montreal and ended up being the anchor of the Ottawa News at 6 p.m. for many years. And so having volunteered, he grew into a career, and now he's a professor of journalism at Carleton. So it's nice, you know. And we spoke to Adrian Cadet, to Sarah and Yango earlier this morning, and same with her. You know, she's been volunteering at CHUO for a long time, but has turned it into a career. So lots of opportunities for people. And you don't have to be a student of whichever university is in your area. You can just show up and show some interest and see what they can make you do, and they'll put you to work.
And that's what it's about, is an opportunity that people don't normally have a chance to do, right? We broadcast in over 65 different languages. Right, so it's not just English, it's not just French, it's communities that come together and have an opportunity to share their stories. So those are the types of things where, you know, we're seeing Syrian refugees and events in Toronto, people coming together and having an opportunity to not only hear what's happening back home, but also to find out what services are available, connecting with other community members. If you've just come to the country and you know no one and you don't speak the language, right, community radio can be an incredible hub for that, bringing together of communities. And that's just one example.
Yeah. And we do broadcast in several different languages as well, not always only English. So really nice to help connect the diaspora around the country. So coming up next, one of our journalism students, who is a real superstar radio announcer at CKCU, will be speaking to Amanda Pfeffer from CBC, who is Riley's professor, in fact. So that's coming up in a couple of, in a minute or two. And then after that, we'll be speaking to Ian Pringle of Farm Radio. He'll tell you all about Farm Radio. And what else do I have? I will be speaking to Adrian Harewood as well. So lots of content coming up.
So stay tuned.
First off, Isaac, thanks so much for agreeing to do this. I was wondering if we could start with a little bit of a background on yourself as well as the work that you do at Farm Radio International.
Thank you very much for having me on an occasion like World Radio Day. My name is Isaac Minta. I am a professional journalist with about 16 years of experience working with Farm Radio International, the Ghana office. And at Farm Radio, I work as the radio craft officer. And essentially, my duties as a radio craft officer is to ensure that I work with other team members to build content that we use in broadcasting weekly programs. And this I do together with key stakeholders on various projects that we work on. I also work as a trainer, so I offer training to our broadcasting partners, the production teams, on how they are supposed to air programs according to Farm Radio's quality interactive radio standard. And so I take them through a lot of tools, a lot of sessions, peer review, and to ensure that they are well equipped and in the position to produce and air programs. And I walk the path with them as they air programs till we get to the end of the series that they are airing.
Wonderful. Thanks. Thanks for that, Isaac. I'm wondering from your perspective, how important does radio continue to be, or how important is radio based on your experience and based on your observations?
Well, I'll say that radio has over the years become the most important tool for information need, serving as a medium through which information is disseminated across board in sub-Saharan Africa and in Ghana, if I'm to even put that in context. And this is buttressed by even the fact that in Ghana, we have a very liberalized radio space. The authority that controls or gives out or regulates radio station frequency, the National Communications Authority, has come out with frequency reuse. And so they even reduce the radios, the coverage radios of various radio stations so that they can always be assigning frequencies to, you know, various communities. So Ghana has close to 500 radio stations as a small country. And that goes to buttress the point that radio is very key. Almost every now and then, communities need radio to broadcast information. They need to access information, and they can never do that without radio. And the essence is that it is cheap, it's affordable. People are able to tune into frequencies using their mobile phones, using simple radio sets on the farm. Farmers are listening to that across on the streets, in the market, in the offices. People drive in vehicles, they are listening to radio. So radio is such an important tool in sub-Saharan Africa, at least in Ghana, that the citizens, community members, community folks can never do without radio. There's no single day you move out that you don't really hear people tune into one radio station or the other. It's a really big thing for a lot of people here in Ghana.
Wonderful. And I think you alluded to this a bit, Isaac, with your teasing of using mobile phones and mobile technology, because often radio can be criticized as old-fashioned. And I'm wondering if you have a response to when people tell you or you hear people say that radio is old-fashioned.
It has come up a number of times, but it's not really the case in sub-Saharan Africa and in Ghana in particular. What I've come to realize over the years, and even as a broadcaster, is radio is now leveraging on new media. I mean, with the advent of internet and social media, radio now is leveraging on that to even go wider. There are radio stations that stream on Facebook. They're on YouTube. They have their own websites that they stream live on, and other apps as well, third-party apps that they get hooked on, and then their messages are carried across these third-party apps. And so in Ghana and sub-Saharan Africa, it's not really the case. It's not seen as old-fashioned at all, because people are able to access that using their smartphones, using their tablets, using their laptops or computers. And they cut across in many shades and in many forms. And especially if you look at what radio now has come to offer communities. It's now a platform for discourse. People share their opinions. People voice out their concerns. So in Ghana, for example, radio now is a big medium for public discourse. When farmers want to reach out to people, they want to tune into radio stations in their farmer programs and share their views. When communities want to talk about development, reach out to duty bearers, reach out to policy makers, reach out to the government, they want to air those concerns on radio because it's spontaneous. It reaches thousands or probably millions of people at a go. In Ghana, it's so much of a big deal such that there are those overseas who tune in to local radio stations via the social media platforms that I've spoken about. So people in Europe, in the Americas, they tune in and contribute to radio programs in Ghana. So it's now moved into the global space. A radio station could be operating locally in Ghana, but based on the content, based on the interest, and people in the diaspora are also connected and contributing as well. So really, to answer your question once again, it's not old-fashioned at all in sub-Saharan Africa and in Ghana. It's one of the most reliable tools that people use to share information, and it's a big thing in Ghana.
Isaac, thanks so much for shining a light on how important radio continues to be, especially with this being aired on World Radio Day. Thanks so much for your time and keep up the great
work. Thank you very much, Chris, for having me. And on this day, I would want to say one more time that let's begin to hold on to this powerful tool of radio, because it's become the medium that is driving change. And it is causing a lot of people to respond positively. Duty bearers are reaching out, development partners, government, and all, always ensuring that they're using this great platform to drive the change that we all need in our communities.
Hi there, I'm Alan Cross, longtime radio and podcast guy, program director, music director, and on-air dude. I've been fascinated with radio since my grandmother gave me my first transistor when I was just 6 years old. I've been in this business professionally since 1981, so I've seen a lot of changes. But one thing hasn't changed. Radio is still popular and powerful and, if done correctly, profitable. It is not going anywhere. We need to underscore this more and shut down all the naysayers who insist that radio is dead. It is not. Far from it. But we do have some work to do. The other day, I saw a social media post that read, "What we need is something like a podcast that's delivered in real time and gives us breaking news and other things that are happening right now." To whoever wrote that, we have something right now. It's called radio. You should try it sometime. I hear it's pretty cool and useful. World Radio Day is an excellent time to talk about something like this. But then again, isn't any day a good day for radio?
You are listening to a live broadcast from the Queen Street Fair in Ottawa in celebration of World Radio Day. This event is brought to you by the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Farm Radio International, and CKCU FM.
Good morning. You're listening to CKCU. Happy World Radio Day. My name is Riley Murphy, and I'm joined by Amanda Pfeffer, who is a CBC journalism reporter. And also, lucky enough, my professor on Monday mornings. Amanda, how are you doing today?
Good, you're being graded.
Yes, I'm going to get a grade on this assignment today. For anybody that does not know, Amanda has been a reporter at CBC for many years now. Mm-hmm. And she also teaches at Carleton, an audio class that I take part in. How do you like teaching at Carleton, I mean, to start off?
Well, teaching has been just fantastic. I've so enjoyed teaching at Carleton, and it's really taught me a lot, actually. I get way more out of that experience of teaching than I think the students are probably getting out of being near me. But I learn things from students every year, and I also am in touch, get to be in touch with young people and where they're at, which is so interesting. The pandemic was such an interesting thing to watch. People grow through the pandemic, and each year, you know, your cohort is now, how old were you when the pandemic took place?
Probably 17, 18, I think, yeah.
So it's interesting to see how that pandemic has sort of affected your lives and affected your outlook on the world. And it was really easy to teach journalism during the pandemic because people really got it. They really understood why we're here, what we're doing, and why journalism is important. It's a shame that it took, you know, a worldwide pandemic to do that, but it really was an interesting time to teach journalism through that period. So, yeah, I'm very grateful that each winter I get to teach a new cohort of people in audio journalism. And people come into that class, and I always ask, do this survey about how much you listen to radio, and a lot of young people say they don't listen to it at all. So I hope that by the end of it, they have, you know, a new appreciation for radio.
Absolutely, and through teaching audio at Carleton and through all your work at CBC, what does community radio and radio in general mean to you and mean to you to the public?
So I started in community radio. I started at CKUT in Radio McGill. And at the time, I don't know if it's appropriate to say it, but we used to call ourselves Scut S-word. And it was really a formative time in radio for me. Being in community radio, you're so free to do any subject you want, anything you want, and really explore subjects that are really not covered in the mainstream at all. And so, and then you take that experience from community radio and you take it into your journalism career, and it really forms who you are and the kind of stories you're interested in. I really enjoyed community radio. People used to sleep, you know, I'm sure that happens still today. I remember the head of the radio station used to sleep on the couch because it was a 24-hour job. And I also remember that I answered the phone one day in community radio. It was somebody who was over at the local rock station, Montreal. And they said, you know, we're really looking for a traffic reporter. Pays, you know, some enormous amount, which I was thrilled about. Do you know anybody who possibly could come and fill that role? I said, I think I know someone.
I think I might know someone
who might be good. And I went home and I listened to their traffic report and I recorded it and I repeated it word for word and made my own recording and sent it in. And that job allowed me to drop one of my five jobs or two of my five jobs and work in, you know, in doing traffic reporting in a sort of rock station while I was working in community radio. So I appreciate community radio for giving me my first paid job.
Perfect. And I know you touched on a little earlier that a lot of students you encounter actually don't listen to radio, sometimes previously to your own audio class. How do you feel that maybe as a community we can up student engagement and community engagement with community radio?
You know, it's a good question. You're going to be having later in the show Ms. Friedman, who works in that space. Terrestrial radio numbers are going down in Canada. Give you the thumbs up. Terrestrial radio is certainly going down in Canada and in North America generally. But in parts of the world, terrestrial radio is so important. And it's how people, we know that when we have an emergency in Canada, that people go into their cars and they're listening. When there was a power outage for 2 weeks in some areas of Ottawa, people would go into their cars and we knew they were listening to us. They didn't have their electronic, they didn't have internet or anything. And so they depend on you for vital information. So radio is still the best form to do that. And so as someone who works in radio, that's very fulfilling and energizing when there is an emergency to work in that space. So working in community radio or in radio generally is really fun. And I think it's, you know, the numbers, I don't know if I should speak out of school, but the numbers for the morning show here on CBC are higher than the national at night. National gets more numbers, you know, across the country, but certainly you can see how people really plug into radio for vital information still. And it's a really fun medium. It's much more intimate than the other mediums. You know, we're having a conversation, and you know, on television, you kind of have to talk like this over the pictures, right? So, yeah,
this is nice.
It's fun.
It's face to face, but also, you know, you're bringing the listener in at home, and it feels like they're part of the conversation with you.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It's much very intimate, and I do a show, a call-in show at noon called Ontario Today, just a plug, and. And it's an opportunity for people to engage, for us to engage with real people. And it's an outlet for, and there are very few spaces in the world right now where people can come and connect and hang out together and hear each other. And radio gives us an opportunity to do that. Sometimes people are pouring their hearts out on the radio about things that are very personal. And the rest of the province can hear it at the same time and identify with those issues. And this is about what we spend our money on, what we focus on as a government, and what's important in our communities. And so I think that's where the radio space is so important.
Yeah. And you touched on radio actually being really fun.
What is
one of your favorite parts about working in radio and working in this environment?
The people behind the scenes are so fun. Like there are people who are working, trying to make this all possible, the technical crew and all of those people. And everybody who works in radio is very fun. These are people who will be the funniest people that you ever meet. And there's a lot of dark humor sometimes because some of the stories that we're doing are pretty dark. And so these are people who end up being lifelong friends. The parties are really great, but also these are people who you're working so closely on, and you're working on very, very intimate stories that affect people directly, and it does create a kind of bond between people.
Yeah. And if you could leave everyone here today with one thing about the importance of community radio, what would it be?
You know, community radio is that space that's open to everyone. All comers can come and take part in community radio. It's so important to have that space where people can connect, and there's no cost. And the airwaves are kind of right, and in community radio, it's still a right. Anyone can come and participate in community radio, and that's so important for, at this time especially, we have polarization in our communities and we have a democratic deficit sometimes, and these are the spaces where we work stuff out. So community radio is so important, and it'll be part of the solution as we kind of try to bridge our gaps as a community moving forward.
Absolutely. Yeah. This was Amanda Pfeffer from the CBC. Not only my professor, but also a great journalist. And I'm not just saying that so that I get a good grade in this class. Thank you so much for joining us
today. A plus, Riley.
Radio Day Minute, proclaimed in 2011 by UNESCO and endorsed by the United Nations General Assembly in 2012 as a UN International Day, February 13 is World Radio Day.
Radio is a well-established mass medium of everyday people, and therein lies its strength and importance. Accessible, portable, and affordable, it has the power to connect the people of a town, a region, a nation, and ideally the world. Radio has the potential to bring the diverse people of the world together into the same wonderful mosaic that exists on the local level, a sense of community. It has the ability to fuel marketplaces of both commerce and art, as well as recreation, and most important, marketplaces of ideas, operated and utilized by engaged people of goodwill with civility and certainly with respect for each other's differences. This has been a World Radio Day Minute from UNESCO.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to World Radio Day. We're broadcasting live from Queen Street Fair here in Ottawa. And you're tuned in to CKCU 93.1 FM, or perhaps you're listening online at ckcufm.com. My name is Anne Marie, and I'm about to speak with Ian Pringle, who is the Director of Programs at Farm Radio International. Farm Radio International is a Canadian-based not-for-profit organization working in direct partnership with more than 1,000 radio broadcasters in 37 African countries to fight poverty and food insecurity. So I'm really I'm pleased to take this whole discussion at the international level with you now, Ian. Welcome.
Awesome. Thanks. Great to be here.
All right. So, Ian, perhaps you can explain to us briefly the whole concept of farm radio. It's quite different. It's different than campus community radio. And I think people don't always quite grasp the enormity of what farm radio does.
Well, I guess the first thing is that farm radio is not a radio station. But it's similar to campus and community stations in the sense that we work with a whole range of radio stations, primarily in sub-Saharan Africa, and our role is to build the capacity of those stations to be able to offer better quality services to their listeners. So those would be rural folk in sub-Saharan Africa, primarily farmers. Our name says a lot, but obviously farmers have more concerns than just their livelihoods. Health, also really important, and so that's the focus of the work we do.
That's it's quite a unique idea, I guess, that you're able to help the rural communities communicate with each other and to learn, right?
Yep.
So you've got so not only agriculture but also health and education, perhaps.
Yep. Yep, yep. Anything to do really with the development of a community, we will be there ready to support radio stations as to how they can do a better job of serving their constituents. Mm. And that's really our focus as an organization. So the type of programming that we help stations to put on is maybe not what you would typically tune into if you turned on your radio here. Our programs tend to have more of an educational element in the sense that there are very practical results that we're looking for to come out of the programming that we do. So those could be increasing people's knowledge about particular agricultural practices or health practices, things that will benefit themselves and their families in terms of their income or their safety, their security, their health overall. So it's a little bit different in the sense that the programs have to be very carefully designed in order to be able to achieve those kind of results. So really it's a lot about informal or adult education is the work that we're doing.
That's fascinating. And is there a lack of internet, or why radio and not something else?
If you're trying to do development work, as a catch-all phrase, in sub-Saharan Africa or in many parts of the world, the developing world, and you're not using radio, then you're not really meeting people where they are. So not only is there a lack of internet or a lack of mobile phones or a lack of television, newspapers, other forms of media, the base reality is often that there's no electricity. So if you don't have electricity, you're not going to have movie theaters, you're not going to have a lot of people with television. Essentially meaning that if you really want to reach people and you want to offer them good information and communication services, you really have two or three choices, and radio is always going to be very, very high up there. So if you're not using radio, you're really not talking to people in the way that they're ready to talk to you and to listen.
And how many of these stations then exist?
So right now, Farm Radio International, we work with around 1,350 stations that are part of our network. So the network is a very important part of our work. It dates back more than 40 years to the founding of the organization. And that's a big network. It's really unique about Farm Radio International that we have over the years developed this big network. Over 1,350 radio stations in 38 different countries, which is 85% of sub-Saharan Africa. Mm-hmm. So the coverage within sub-Saharan Africa of all of our network members is huge. It's in the hundreds of millions of people. So the potential, as you increase the capacity of those stations to be able to offer quality programming that has a tangible benefit for people, it's huge. There's no other more cost-effective way than you could possibly serve those folks in rural areas.
And only in Africa you're working?
Right now, I mean, Farm Radio's original remit was sort of, you know, farmers everywhere. And it comes from a tradition of Canadian, farm radio. That's partly where the idea comes from. But at the moment, our focus is sub-Saharan Africa. It has been for maybe the last 15 years or so as an organizational strategy. But that probably will change in the coming years, where we start to maybe look a little bit more internationally and working with partners and networks of stations in different regions. So stay tuned. Change on the horizon for us, too.
Okay, yeah. That is exciting. So, Ian, I know that you travel to Africa and you do go and visit some of these stations, help them get set up, I presume, or you get to speak with them and talk to them. Have you? Can you share any success stories with us or any exciting, you know, what satisfaction do you get from your work when you go out there? You must be hearing some great stories.
Yeah, we hear fantastic stories. I always say that, you know, that my favorite thing to do is to go and visit the radio stations, although I've realized that even more than that, going and visiting the community listening groups that are listening to those radio stations is, you know, kind of even more powerful, because it's where people are really listening. But I went a few years ago to Kano in northern Nigeria, to visit a station that was running a program for us. And the project was about reducing post-harvest losses in key crops, which doesn't sound very exciting, but it's really important. And so this particular program was about reducing post-harvest losses in the tomato crop, because the tomato crop is one of the big cash crops in that area. And the station is a super powerful station. It's not a community station. This is a private broadcaster, beautiful building, a few floors. There's a TV station in there, multiple radio services, really big, smart. I mean, they broadcast in the local language, and so they're smart around how to tap into being a popular station. But what was interesting is that when I said to them, well, what's been different about working with Farm Radio International rather than the usual work that you do? And what they said was, we never realized that farmers would tune into a program at 8:30 at night. Yeah. And it doesn't seem like a very big deal, but the fact that we were able to help them to tailor a program to exactly the right audience, that they would listen at exactly the right time, just goes to show you that even this station wasn't really listening to their own listeners around what do you want and when do you want it. And it's something that Farm Radio is very good at. If you really want to make a difference in people's lives, the first thing you have to do is to listen to them around where are you at with this particular issue and when would you like to listen and how would you like to listen. And if you can get those things right, even a program about reducing post-harvest losses in tomato will be one of the most popular programs on one of the most popular radio stations in northern Nigeria.
Wow.
So it was a real revelation, and I think gets to the heart of what Farm Radio International is really good at.
It sounds like all radio could learn a lesson from that.
I think so. I think so.
Ian, have you had a past experience at community radio? Have you volunteered in community radio?
It's fantastic to be here, because this is exactly where I came from.
Okay.
I started volunteering and working for CKUT in Montreal many, many years ago before it even went on air.
Okay.
So it is awesome to be here and to connect to this great movement in Canada. And I love the slides and seeing some of the photographs. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Great. Well, we're so glad that you could be here. Is climate change having a big effect on what's going on in Africa? And is there more of a need for
it's
radio?
Huge. Yeah, it's huge. I mean, you know, again, radio is the way. If you want to be able to increase people's, you know, knowledge, you want to be able to have them to be able to take actions and make changes in their own lives, you have to have access to information and communication. It's essential for for any of us to be able to do anything, we largely take it for granted. You know, everybody in the room has got one of these.
Yeah.
And with one of these, in English or in French probably, you have access to most of the world's knowledge right here in your telephone.
Right.
But in a rural area of many, many, many countries around the world, you would be lucky if you have one radio program meant for you in your local language.
Wow.
So climate change, it's you know, it's an existential crisis, as we all know. But, you know, many people in rural sub-Saharan Africa, they're on the front lines.
Thank you so much for being with us, Ian Pringle. Where can we get more information about Farm Radio?
Online, farmradio.org.
Farmradio.org. Ian Pringle, everyone, thank you so much for being with us
today. Super big pleasure. Thank you.
Minute, proclaimed in 2011 by UNESCO and endorsed by the United Nations General Assembly in 2012 as a UN International Day, February 13 is World Radio Day.
Three services that radio provides are informing, entertaining, and educating. Let's look at informing. News comes in many forms, world, national, and local, covering topics ranging from geopolitics to local policy, from health and safety to weather and road conditions. At UNESCO, we consider the term news to mean verified information in the public interest, and information that falls short of this standard does not deserve the label of news. The rise of disinformation and manipulation in modern communications is a danger that leads to hate and violent extremism. The public should consume media with critical thinking and hold all platforms from national networks to social media, including radio, accountable for accuracy. This has been a World Radio Day Minute from UNESCO.
You are listening to a live broadcast from the Queen Street Fair in Ottawa in celebration of World Radio Day. This event is brought to you by the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Farm Radio International, and CKCU FM.
Presenting a World Radio Day Minute, proclaimed in 2011 by UNESCO and endorsed by the United Nations General Assembly in 2012 as a UN International Day, February 13 is World Radio Day.
Three services that radio provides are informing, entertaining, and educating. Let's look at informing. News comes in many forms, world, national, and local, covering topics ranging from geopolitics to local policy, from health and safety to weather and road conditions. At UNESCO, we consider the term news to mean verifiable information in the public interest, and information that falls short of this standard does not deserve the label of news. The rise of disinformation and manipulation in modern communications is a danger that leads to hate and violent extremism. The public should consume media with critical thinking and hold all platforms from national networks to social media, including radio, accountable for accuracy. This has been a World Radio Day Minute from UNESCO.
My name is Corey White Duck, a.k.a. Corey Chorus.
My name is Michael Buckshot, a.k.a. The Blues Man.
And we are from CKWE 103.9 FM in Kitigan-Zibi, Quebec.
Radio plays a vital part in informing, entertaining, and educating our communities.
To all those who played a part in radio then,
now,
and to the next century, may all your favorite bands stay together.
And now back to the World Radio Day celebrations.
Broadcasting live from unceded Algonquin territory
on Parliament Hill in Ottawa.
Pija shig non dak chiganiki jig mizawekamego. Mariette Buckshot Ndijnika zon de jekidigan zi bing Quebec nidonjaba. Non dak chigan kichin endagwad kijab jitungi dinwewninan. Demajamuwanan kikinamagewanan ashijmujigendamuwanan onjekitanakiwanan. Midashko kem mizawe kamego non dak chiganiki ijik, mino wanagozawin, non dak chigayang anishnabe king ega wikat ga migawaniwang, adawang parliament pikwadnang.
Presenting a World Radio Day Minute, proclaimed in 2011 by UNESCO and endorsed by the United Nations General Assembly in 2012 as a UN International Day, February 13 is World Radio Day.
For democracy to survive and even thrive, and for peace to ultimately prevail, it is important for radio and those guiding its programming to remain true to the fundamental principles of freedom of expression and right to information. In a noisy world of competing narratives,
reliable broadcasters treat guests, callers, and listeners, and each other with respect and civility. Radio will survive in the years to come if its practitioners avoid the tendency to pursue victory at the expense of accuracy and fairness. For more than a century as an iconic mass medium, radio has generated goodwill and has been guided by this compass. May it continue in that direction. This has been a World Radio Day Minute from UNESCO.
Good morning and welcome back. You may recognize my voice again, but I am Riley Murphy, and you're listening to CKCU on 93.1 FM, and I'm joined by Alex Breedman this morning. Good morning,
Alex. Good morning.
Alex. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. I love talking about radio. I love being in a room with so many people who are passionate about radio. So, it's an exciting day.
Yeah. And I mean, you might be able to tell this from over the radio, but just by sitting next to Alex, you can tell how excited he is about radio and about everything that he does. So for those that don't know, Alex is the executive director of the Community Radio Fund of Canada. And Alex, do you want to tell us a little bit about your role there?
Yeah, so the Community Radio Fund of Canada, we provide support, provide support for more than 235 community, campus, and Indigenous radio stations in Canada. And so we create programming that supports their goals. We work along with groups like the NCRA, the ARCC, and the ARCQ to provide a voice for these stations in Ottawa. And we're generally there to respond to the needs of community radio stations in Canada, because these stations play such an important role in Canadian democracy. They get no support. And so a fund like ours is really the one place that stations like this can turn to when they have ideas for creative projects. When they want to take the work they're doing a step further, they can come see us. Yeah.
And how vital do you really feel that this is to the lives of community radio stations and small stations?
Well, I mean, so there are three parts of the Canadian broadcasting system. We know about commercial radio. They make money through advertising. We know about public radio, and big fan of public radio, CBC, et cetera. They get about $1.5 billion annually from the Canadian government to operate. Community radio stations get nothing. We do not get funding from the Canadian federal government to operate what these stations do. And yet, and as guest after guest after guest this morning have explained, there is an increasingly critical need for local voices. So the role we play is critical. The support we get is negligible. And so we are at a time when we are more needed than ever, and yet we still have to work with this government to convince them that we need the support to do this better than ever.
Absolutely.
It's a challenge.
Yeah. And if people are here are looking, and those at home that might not know, today they are looking at the big three needs that we currently are promoting by this event and for World Radio Day. And those are core stable funding, consistent allocation of government advertising, and the local journalism initiative renewal. How important are these big three, and what is so important about them?
Well, so they're all important. I mean, they're all critical, each in their own way. Core funding. You know, right now, we have many stations in this country that operate on an annual budget of less than $100,000 a year. That includes salaries for staff. You cannot run a business on that. They do fundraising drives regularly. They're actually masters at raising money. But all of that money should go back to the radio stations, should go back to the communities. Because by their very license, they are not for profit. Every dollar invested in these stations goes back to the communities they serve. So core operating funds are at the basis of everything that we need. Advertising dollars. This government spends $140 million annually on advertising and cannot find a way to buy an ad on a community radio station. It has been demonstrated that news and advertising on community radio station is more trusted than any other media source. But they don't do it. We're asking for between 8 and 30% of government advertising to come to community news outlets to recognize the importance of community media. And then finally, the local journalism initiative. We have lost in this country hundreds of local news outlets. Just last week, we've spoken about it earlier today, Bell shut down and laid off thousands of journalists. I know so many people who today are not doing the craft that they have been trained to do. We need journalists in this country. The Local Journalism Initiative was set out 5 years ago. It has been an incredible success. We have hired annually up to 50 journalists a year in places that are considered news deserts. This government has committed to renewing the Local Journalism Initiative in their campaign promises, in their mandate letters for their ministers, but they've not done it. Just recently, we heard the Prime Minister using some pretty ugly language about the role that Bell played in attacking local journalism. We need to see programs that support local journalism created and supported at the same time. Each of these initiatives is critically important in its own right.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only people in the government, but people at home that are listening, if they want to support community radio, what can they do to help everyone out?
Well, this is really simple. The government formula works this way. Government officials and particular politicians want to get reelected. You are the person that votes. Call your local MP. Tell them that the vote you will give them is in part dependent on whether or not they, as a government, invest in the community that person represents. Talk to them. Tell them how important it is. Because if your MP listens to you, they will stand up and make noise on behalf of all of us.
Absolutely. And on a more personal level, I know just sitting with you today before this, you said how many people you actually know in this room because of radio. What does radio mean to you?
Radio is a beautiful medium. Radio means immediate connection. Radio means trust. And radio means imagination. And I think that's the most powerful tool of radio. You see, as we talk, you, as the listener, are creating a picture in your head of what we're saying. You're engaged with what you're saying. You're thinking deeply about what we're saying. I know that because we're having this conversation, you and I. Radio has a way of capturing that. Take Howard Stern, for example. The moment he brought a television camera into his studio, everything went sideways on him. The moment we leave the beauty of radio, which is immediacy and which is communication, we get into a world of chaos. This is a simple conversation. You know, we live in this community, and this community matters to us. And that's why radio is so important.
And do you feel that your time at CBC influenced the way that you feel about radio at all?
Absolutely, 100%. Every time I go on air, it influences the way I feel about radio. CBC is a juggernaut in this country. They do amazing work. Farm Radio is a juggernaut internationally. They do amazing work. Do you know, we all contribute to a dialogue nationally. CBC has led the way for generations, but we need to move forward and think about broadcasting in Canada as an environment, not as a monopoly. We need to invest in the environment that is broadcasting, because where CBC does national stories exquisite, we need to have local media doing local stories with that same caliber. So we need to invest in an environment. What I learned at the CBC taught me about the bigger picture. What I'm learning every day as I work with community radio stations is the importance of individual communications, individual communities, and people who listen every day.
And what do you hope to achieve every day working with Community Radio Fund of Canada? You know, what is maybe an overarching goal that you feel that you have in your career in this place?
Bring communities together. Make sure communities have the information they need. Make sure Canadians have what they need. You know, we were joking earlier, we were talking about traffic reports. And it feels so insignificant, but I'll tell you something. If you're trying to get from Gatineau into downtown Ottawa, it matters where the traffic is. Those conversations, it's not just the news report. It's the conversation you as the morning show host then have with the newsmaker to try and understand a little bit further. You're doing it immediately. You're doing it right then. You're doing it right at the moment where it's important to me. So what did I learn at CBC? I learned that this is all part of an important environment, and every word we speak on the radio matters to people. And the people that benefit most are the ones who are just sitting at home today listening to us, taking in a little information they didn't have earlier this morning.
And if you could summarize the importance of World Radio Day, why we all came out today, why we're speaking to listeners at home today, what would you say?
For my entire career, I have heard the death of radio is imminent. Every day, I learn that it is not. Every day, I learn that there are more and more people who consider this to be one of the most important and crucial media that they rely on every day. So why is World Radio Day important? Because it cannot be taken for granted. We have to stand up and let people know that we want this to continue, that we want governments to pay attention, that we want funding bodies like the Community Radio Fund to work harder every day to make sure that this is possible. World Radio Day is a moment where we can celebrate the medium that we love and make sure that others hear about this passion.
And how else will you be celebrating your World Radio Day?
I'm going to go back and sit with the team from Community Radio Fund of Canada, and we're all going to have a nice cup of coffee and celebrate how fantastic
perfect.
This broadcast has been.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here today, Alex. We really appreciate all the work that you do and everything that you do at Community Radio Fund of Canada.
Thanks for your questions.
Thank you so much.
Presenting a World Radio Day Minute, proclaimed in 2011 by UNESCO and endorsed by the United Nations General Assembly in 2012 as a UN International Day, February 13 is World Radio Day.
What is radio's greatest asset in competing with television, movies, videos, and other visual media brought to the user via a screen? It's the remarkable ability of the human brain and consciousness to generate imagination. The power of the spoken word to tell stories, enhanced in some cases by music and emotion, is virtually unlimited. Radio broadcasters are neither restricted by financial budgets in setting a scene, nor physical boundaries in building a set. Reporters need not be accompanied by camera crews to cover fast-breaking news events. They are only limited by their own language skills, powers of observation, and passion. That's why radio is the theater of the mind. This has been a World Radio Day Minute from UNESCO.
Presenting a World Radio Day Minute, proclaimed in 2011 by UNESCO and endorsed by the United Nations General Assembly in 2012 as a UN International Day, February 13 is World Radio Day.
Did you know that radio is over 100 years old? Actually, radio spans three centuries and two millennia. It emerged in the late 19th century as wireless telegraphy. It thrived in the 20th century as the first mass medium and remains relevant in the 21st century, evolving with digital technology and modern culture. Although Italian inventor Guglielmo Marconi received the Nobel Prize for Physics in 1909 for his major contributions to its development, the actual process of sending signals over the air via electromagnetic waves was predicted as early as the 1860s and invented in stages by brilliant scientists and engineers from all over the world. This has been a World Radio Day Minute from UNESCO.
You are listening to a live broadcast from the Queen Street Fair in Ottawa in celebration of World Radio Day. This event is brought to you by the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Farm Radio International, and CKCU FM.
Presenting a World Radio Day Minute, proclaimed in 2011 by UNESCO and endorsed by the United Nations General Assembly in 2012 as a UN International Day, February 13 is World Radio Day.
One of radio's enduring traits is its grassroots focus. When it comes to emerging trends in music, pop culture, sports, news, and opinion, radio's always been most effective when it reflects and gives voice to the street. The music, language, and concerns of everyday people, no matter their age, gender, origin, or economic position, can be included. Freedom of expression has had an advocate, a fertile ground on which to grow on the radio airwaves. This has been one of the keys to radio's popularity and ability to survive for well over 100 years, and it's the answer to what it'll take for the medium to have a positive impact on inclusion and mutual understanding for the foreseeable 21st century. This has been a World Radio Day Minute from UNESCO.
Good morning and welcome back to our special live broadcast for World Radio Day. My name is Anne Marie. You're tuned in to CKCU 93.1 in Ottawa, or perhaps you're listening live in the room here today or online at ckcufm.com. We're pleased to be here today. The show continues until 10 a.m. And we have a very special guest with us today, Adrian Harewood. Adrian volunteered at CKCU-FM back in the day, as well as CHUO-FM, before moving on to Montreal and studying in political sciences and working as a station manager at CKUT in Montreal. So lots of campus radio experience there that we're going to be speaking about. Adrian has now joined Carleton University's School of Journalism and Communications, where he is a professor. But before that, after all your work in community radio, Adrian, you worked at CBC. You were host of Ottawa's Drive Home show All in a Day for 3 years, and then you anchored the CBC Ottawa News at 6 for 13 years. That's welcome.
Right. No, great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
So, you know, I, of course, would like to ask you how important community radio has been in shaping your career. You are a success story of volunteering in community radio.
Well, I'm not sure how successful, but you know, my relationship, in fact, my family's relationship with campus community radio is longstanding, and it goes back probably almost 50 years now.
Oh, wow.
My father has been a longtime contributor to Third World Players on CKCU.
Oh, wow.
So for many years, he contributed there. Both of my sisters also were involved with campus community radio.
Right.
My sister Patricia was one of the founders of a program called Soul Perspectives, which is on CKUT, started by the likes of the author David Austin and Richard Eitan, the late academic, Mimi Bayane, and also Patricia. And they started that in 1994.
Okay.
And that was a show that I eventually contributed to as well. And my sister Anne has also been very much involved with campus community radio for the last 30 years. So there's been a Harewood associated with campus community radio for the last almost 45 years straight.
Wow.
And I can say that campus community radio has been certainly a fixture in our lives, and it certainly has helped to really provide me with a really, I think, a really solid foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I was very fortunate, of course. I've you know, produced programs at four different stations. So you mentioned CKCU, CHUO. I had a program with a guy named Norman Otis Richmond on CKLN. For a number of years as well, also at CKUT. So campus community radio has shaped the way I think. It has provided me with community. It's taught me how to build community. It's taught me how to build community across difference as well.
Right?
It has helped me to understand how to organize. It has expanded my world. And so, you know, I certainly, and also, you know, it just allowed me, I didn't go to journalism school, right? So campus community radio was my journalism school. That's where
nice.
I learned just how to produce radio. So, yeah, I feel immensely, like really, really fortunate to have been, had the opportunity to be associated with campus community radio for all these years.
And now you're teaching journalism.
I am.
Communication. How was that experience? And
you should probably ask the students.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they're enjoying it. Maybe they aren't. But I'm enjoying it. I really love. I've always really enjoyed exchanging ideas and hoping to kind of raise people's consciousness about things and just seeing young people develop is something very gratifying. So it's a great space for me to be in right now.
And it's very gratifying to see the students produce segments and programs for CKCU. And I think that, I know it happens at CKCU, I imagine it happens at the other campus radio stations too.
Yeah.
But it's great to have the students come in and learn. They're learning from you and we're giving them airtime. And that is a part of the value that we offer to the community, to the university.
Absolutely. You know, I currently, this semester, I teach the audio journalism course at Carleton. And so the students in that course produce a program called Midweek, which airs every Wednesday between 12 and 1:30. So tomorrow's our next show. And really, we have to thank CKCU for providing us with that space. And you know, you can't really, it's hard to quantify the value, right, of having that opportunity to tell your story in your own voice, unfiltered, right? Like that's one thing that the Campus Community Radio has always offered people, right? It's allowed them the opportunity to be themselves. It's allowed them to tell stories unmediated, right? And in a way that is authentic and true to them. And that's a radical thing, right? That's not a thing that a lot of spaces, a lot of institutions offer people, right? Ordinary people. So it's certainly something that's valued for its community impact, and certainly it's valued by my students.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's that whole, we take it for granted, maybe. I was at CHUO for about 20 years.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, I talked to someone who's in commercial radio and thinking, I would love to, you know, be in commercial radio. But she said to me, you know what, Anne-Marie, you have control of your show. You produce your show. You know who you want to have on the program, and you choose your selection of music and whatnot. So you will not have that if you come to commercial radio. You'll be told what to play.
Yeah. And Campus Community Radio offers so many radical possibilities, right? Possibilities for transformation. I was very fortunate it's actually 30 years ago this year, I was part of a grouping along with my dear friend Shane Book, who's a poet. He now teaches at UVic, and my friend Sharon Stewart. We organized a project, right, through CKCU, which brought about four dozen folks from the black community here in Ottawa,
right,
to the campus station. So these were folks who had never done radio before, yeah, right? And CKCU basically gave the airwaves to us for an entire day. Right, where would you find that anywhere?
Right,
right? With neophytes, with, yeah, people who don't have a lot of experience. So we had an opportunity to craft an entire day of programming with newbies, with people who have never done it before, and it was magic. Right, we created radio magic, and in fact, that program was awarded. It was given an award by the National Campus Community Radio Association that year.
Wonderful.
For community programming. But again, it allowed people to have conversations in a public way that they wouldn't have been able to have had that not been there, right? It also demystified the media.
Okay.
It made media less of an abstraction, right? And media was made to seem close to them. And at that time, there wasn't podcasting, right? People weren't,
right,
having that kind of ability to make media on their own. And again, Campus Community Radio provided us with that space. And I think, you know, if you were to ask some of those folks who were involved in that experience, you know, and if you were to ask them the effect that it's had on their development, I think to a person, they would say that was a really transformative moment for them. It certainly was for me. And I'll tell you one other story. The year later, in 1995, probably the most important black literary conference in Canada of the, and I'm going far here, but of the 20th century, okay, right, happened in Ottawa. And it featured, you know, now these are household names, but in 1995 they weren't. So people like Dion Brand was at that conference. Danny LaFerriere was at that conference. Andre Alexis was at that conference. Austin Clark was at that conference. David Cherryandy was at that conference. Afua Cooper, David Austin, an American poet, Nikki Finney, was at that conference. It was really kind of the who's who of the kind of black literary scene at that time. And we held the conference at the National Archives. But one thing that a lot of people don't know is that the only reason why that conference happened was because of Campus Community Radio, right? Was because of CKCU.
Right.
And at that time, we didn't have a lot of resources. I was part of the organizing group. But CKCU provided its space and provided resources. And we were able to use that to organize this conference that had a really important impact on the development, right, of these authors who are now, you know, enjoying these fabulous careers, right, and have made a real contribution,
right,
to the kind of political discourse, literary discourse in this country. And I think we have CKCU to thank for that, right? So Campus Community Radio has played a really kind of an outsized role in developing culture in,
right,
this country, right? And again, allowing communities and allowing individuals to express themselves. And that's invaluable.
Absolutely. And we are there to give a voice to underrepresented communities. And I think that's a big value of community and campus radio.
Yeah.
How do you sort of see the future? I mean, I'm looking at the, mainstream media. It's becoming more and more homogenous, and it's falling apart, it seems. Somehow think that independent media, independent radio could surge right now, could be really filling a gap. How do you see it?
Well, you know, I think more than ever, we need people, right? And we need community. And one thing that campus community radio can do is it can allow people to commune, right? It can allow people to come together. It can allow them to share their talents, to share their skills, to share their ideas. We always, and I say we, because I'm not just talking about me. Like, I was part of a group that saw the possibility of campus community radio. And we always imagined it as kind of similar to the civil rights organization, SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, had this idea of creating the beloved community, right? This community where all peoples are able to be, and they're able to kind of be fully themselves. And we always imagine campus community radio as being the space where we could create that beloved community, right? So when we're trying to imagine how we want to live, when we're trying to imagine how we want to relate to each other, right? How do we treat each other as human beings? How do we come, to kind of quote the Asian American philosopher Grace Lee Boggs, how do we come more human beings? How do we enlarge our humanity, right? Campus community radio is a space where we can engage in that enlargement of our humanity, right? And that's something that I feel very passionately about.
Yes.
I feel that conviction. And I think that at a moment where we're facing all of these kind of existential crises, right? Like, climate change is here.
Yeah.
So how do we live in a world in which climate change is a reality? How do we build new kinds of relationships? How do we ensure that we don't become alienated from each other? Right? I think campus community radio provides a space where we can work that out. And we can talk about the kind of world that we want to build. Right? The kind of world that we want our children and children's children and children's 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 children to live in.
Right.
Right? And again, I might sound rather romantic and a little bit idealistic, but it's actually something that I believe in, because I've actually seen how campus community radio can make that kind of difference for people.
And do you think that it's because it's radio as opposed to a visual medium like television or TikTok? I don't know what. What is it, that quality of radio, that is different?
Yeah, I think possibly. I think that campus community radio it provides that kind of space.
Yeah.
Right? And so there's a kind of an openness to difference, right? There's an openness to people being individuals. I can't say that I've ever met more creative, more innovative, more risk-taking folks anywhere. Right? Like, to me, CKUT was an incredibly radical space, right? So the most interest, it attracted some of the most interesting artists. It attracted some of the most interesting political organizers and thinkers. And so I think that's one thing that campus community radio can do, right? There's that kind of magnetic pull. It pulls people in, because again, it doesn't restrict you, right? I worked at CBC for many years, and I enjoyed that experience. But there was a kind of a formula, right? And there are certain kind of parameters that you couldn't go beyond. It was challenging to go beyond that. I think still at campus community radio, there's an opportunity to try things, right? There's an opportunity to make mistakes, right? Which is really vital. You have a certain kind of latitude, right, to experiment that you don't have in other spaces. So I think that's one thing going for it. Yeah, I think there's something about maybe not having a camera on you
right.
that can allow people to be a little bit more free.
You get the more the introverts will come in, and, right. and as you can give them that space too.
Yeah, and there's an intimacy, yeah. right? Like there's an intimacy about right. radio as well that you don't get in the same kind of way with the visual medium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, increasingly, we do things like live broadcast so people can see us, and it's yeah. like, oh no, I'm used to just being in a studio, no one's watching me.
Right.
But
right.
Yeah.
yeah.
So what do you teach your students in the end? Are you, what's your final message about why you should be doing radio?
What do I teach my Well, you know, what I would say is that my students teach me.
Okay.
right? So my students are always teaching me, and they're I'm always learning from them. They teach me how to be brave, right? They teach me to get out of my comfort zone,
okay.
right? They teach me to kind of think outside of the box. What am I teaching? Well, what am I teaching them? Hopefully, you know, I'm teaching them to also take chances, right? And okay. and to challenge themselves. Mm. Hopefully, I'm teaching them or passing on the information that it's important to interrogate. Right, it's important to interrogate yourself.
Right.
It's important to mine your interior self. Right, so those okay. are some things.
Ask the difficult questions.
Yeah, and to challenge power, right, and to not accept, you know, the message of the status quo.
Okay.
Right, that it's important to disturb the peace, and it's important to engage in disruption. Right, so those are some kind of general things that hopefully are being passed on, you know, in the courses that I teach at Carleton.
Those are wonderful attributes. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And now we know you're a little bit of a rebel on the inside. That's great. Thank you so much. I've been speaking with Adrian Harewood, an important alumnus with CKCU and CHUO.
Yeah.
And thank you very much for being here,
okay,
Adrian.
Thanks for having
Amazing.
Me.
Amazing.
Thank you. All right.
Fair in Ottawa in celebration of World Radio Day. This event is brought to you by the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Farm Radio International, and CKCU-FM.
Hi, I'm Bob Jonkman from CKMS-FM, 102.7 Radio Waterloo, broadcasting in Waterloo Region, Ontario, Canada, to the cities of Kitchener, Waterloo, and Cambridge, and the rural townships of Woolwich, Wellesley, Wilmot, and North Dumfries. One of the jewels on the CKMS-FM radio schedule is the Agriculture Show, hosted by Jeff Steger on Tuesdays from noon to 2 p.m. Jeff explains what the Agriculture Show is all about.
We're at the Agriculture Show. We hope to listen to people's stories about agriculture and have us tell us what they know about it. And our town listeners can see some common themes in there and stuff that they might not have known before, and a new appreciation for what's going on out in the countryside. That's our lofty goals.
Jeff brings in guests from different sectors in agriculture to have them explain the business of farming to our urban listeners.
Let's say some random person walked in our doorway and said, hey, you three, what do you know about agriculture? Like, what would you tell them? What would be your agricultural story?
Invariably, Jeff answers one of the most basic questions about farming.
Did you ever have the chance to tell someone that brown cows don't give brown milk?
Sad, but true. This entertaining and educational information is brought to you through the miracle of radio and Jeff Steger. The Agriculture Show is sponsored by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture, representing farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Their goal is to promote the farm community in support of innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer and the policy needs of society. Radio has been around for over a century, and our community radio station has been broadcasting for over 45 years to bring information, entertainment, and education to Waterloo Region. And now, we return to the World Radio Day celebrations from our nation's capital, Ottawa, broadcasting from CKCU-FM at Carleton University.
So thanks very much for everyone for coming to our World Radio Day special broadcast here on unceded Algonquin territory. Big thanks to many people this morning for getting up early and helping us out. Adrian Harewood, who we just heard from, and Ian Pringle a little bit earlier on. In no particular order here, by the way. There was Sarah Anyango, who was here, who was emceeing an event, actually, on the 23rd. Ashe World Fest is presenting Bia Ferreira, from Brazil. So that'll be a good concert. And we also heard from Ariel Troster. We heard from Ian Pringle and Alex Friedman. And thanks to our gracious hosts, Anne-Marie and Jordan and Riley, for holding it down. Thanks to you, Yalda, also for doing the news. And thanks to my tech people, Nathaniel and Dylan and Scott over here from Bar Robo. We also will thank Ella, too, for helping us put this together. And, of course, Barry from the NCRA, their team, and Christian and the Farm Radio crew. So thanks very much, and enjoy the rest of your day.